Dear friends in Jesus Christ, graduates of St. John, the class of 2008, and school board, and all of you who are the graduates, family, and friends, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior. Amen. I would like to consider with you this morning the words of our Lord from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, the 6th chapter. Again, these words, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." This is God's word. Surveys taken from time to time ask questions about what people worry about. And I don't imagine that we're any different than most other people in the world. One such survey asked this question: Have you experienced the following worry in the past month? Rising prices. 74% of people said they had worried about rising prices in the past month. The cost of health care. 67% of people had worried about that in the past month. Not enough money to meet the basic necessities of life. 62% of people worried about that. Problems at work with a boss or with fellow workers. 32% of people had worried about that in the past month. Problems with family relationships. Another 31% had worried about that. And the list just goes on and on and on. It is endless, the things that we worry about. And what does the world say to us? Don't worry. Be happy. That little ditty really caught on and became quite popular, I think, because it struck a chord with us. We all experience this problem of worry. The only problem with that sentiment is that worry isn't like a light switch. You can just turn it off and then turn on happiness. I think worry is more like smoking. If you're going to quit, you've got to substitute something else. You know, if you're going to quit smoking, maybe you're going to chew gum in its place. What are we going to do instead of worrying? I got a clue for you in a little statement that I read once. It has been said that worry is prayer in reverse. Think about that. Worry is prayer in reverse. And that makes sense. When we worry, we show that we are trusting ourselves more than we're trusting God. But when we pray, we show that we are placing our trust in God, who is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And that's why Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, makes the connection between prayer and worry. And as we listen to him, we learn that as we cast all of our anxieties upon God and give him all of our worries, that our prayers put worry in reverse. You know, I tend to be a worrier, at least I think. I don't know how I stack up compared to you. Sometimes I feel inordinately so that I worry. But maybe you would say the same thing about yourself. Maybe we're all just by nature worriers. But I remember back to 9/11. After that event had occurred, I stewed and I fretted over what was going to become of our country, over the rise of radical Islam in the world, about what was going to happen to the economy. I became quiet, a little withdrawn from my family. I lost sleep over it.
And I suppose I was even going up and down the halls not singing or humming. And if you come upon me in the halls and I'm not singing or humming, something must be wrong with me, so ask. All right. So during that time, though, another week of that, and I think I'd have probably had ulcers. But it was during that time that God led me, I think, to a little statement that I read somewhere, and I can't remember where, but the words stick with me. I read this line, "Why pray when you can worry?" Think about that. Why pray when you can worry? And it hit me like, you know, like those defibrillator paddles that start up your heart again. Kaboom! Like a million volts of electricity. That's exactly what I had been doing. Instead of praying like I should have been, and entrusting the course of history into the hands of the Almighty, I was busying myself with worrying, as though my worrying could change anything or add a day to the span of my life. I should have taken the advice of an author named Mary Crowley. She wrote these words. Remember these. "Every evening I turn my worries over to God. He's going to be up all night anyway." I like that. It reminds me of the words of the psalmist who said, "He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." Worry is prayer in reverse. Ultimately, the reason we worry is because we have misplaced our trust. And so, for example, when we put our trust in government to take care of us, or to take care of all of our needs, or to supply our needs, when we trust the government for the really big things in life, it's no wonder we worry about things, because we know in our heart of hearts that government is just sinners with power. And they make mistakes too, just like I make mistakes and you make mistakes. And if you're going to trust in those kinds of things for your security, you ought to be worrying. And that's why Psalm 146 says, "Do not put your trust in princes who are but mortals and cannot save." And assuming that King David wrote those words, that's an amazing thing to think about. Here, David is the governing authority, and yet he has the wisdom to be able to say, "Don't trust in me. I'm just a mortal. I can't save you." Oh, that all of our modern political leaders had that attitude. And so what does Paul say instead? He says, "I urge that prayers be made for all people, for kings and for all who are in authority. Don't trust them. Pray for them and trust in God. And you will start to put your worries into reverse." Jesus said, "You don't need to worry." If your worries are about tomorrow, and they usually are, the words of our Lord are a reality check. Therefore, he says, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Tomorrow is out of your control. Your worries today do not empty tomorrow of its problems and of its trials, but they do rob today of its joy and its strength. Worry does not stop evil from happening, but it does make you weak to cope with your troubles when they come. I always like what Charlie Brown said. Some of the greatest things come out of that little boy's mouth. He said, "I've developed a new philosophy. I only dread one day at a time." Jesus reminds us that our Heavenly Father takes care of even the sparrows and the flowers of the field. Look how gloriously he clothes the grass of the field with the flowers, which are here today and gone tomorrow. Will he not much more take care of you, for whom he sent his only begotten Son into this world? And there is the real secret for the worries of life and for taking away those worries. Our Lord Jesus took all of the problems that cause us to worry, all of those things resulting from sin in this world and sin in us, and he took them to the cross as the suffering servant. And when he went down into the grave, all of those things that worry us were buried with him. And when the Father raised him up, Jesus could now offer us new life and forgiveness for all of the worrying that we've been doing, which in essence is idolatry. And by His death and His resurrection, Christ won for us what has to be the greatest privilege we have in life. He won for us the right to pray. He gave us a hotline to heaven. And He gave us the right to approach the throne of Almighty God. Not like the cowardly lion approached the Wizard of Oz with fear and trembling, the mighty, powerful Wizard of Oz. No, that's not how God tells us to approach. He says, you may approach me as dear children approach their dear father to offer your praises, your prayers, your petitions, your concerns in the full confidence that He hears all of our prayers for the sake of our dear Savior, His Son. And those prayers begin to put worry into reverse as we move away from our own solutions and we cast our anxieties instead upon the Lord. Our big cares, our little cares, the things that trouble us, we turn them over in prayer to His care and we let them go. As we hear in this one expression that's popular, let go and let God. And that's good advice. Graduates of St. John, if I were to ask your parents today what worries them about you, you know what they'd say? At least if surveys are accurate, they're worried about you getting a driver's license. They are. And they worry that when you get your driver's license, you're going to be driving safely and responsibly. As surveys say anyway, parents worry more about that than they do about the potential for drug and alcohol abuse. Did you know that? I suppose that they're also worrying that as you now move on into high school, that you not fall in with the wrong crowd. Because wrong peers are a powerful force to get your life off track in a big hurry. And now if I were to ask you what you're worried about, surveys indicate you worry about such things as this. You worry about fitting in with your peers. You worry about how you look. You worry about grades, which is a really big one. You worry about whether you're too fat or you're too thin. You worry about whether you're getting a good job when your education is all finished. You worry about the bigger things. You worry about the future of our country. You worry about Social Security, apparently, and whether it's going to be solvent one day when you need it. Certainly, there are no shortage of things to worry about. Graduation is a wonderful time, an exciting time, but it's also a time when you're stepping into a new part of life. And anytime something is new and unknown, we tend to worry about those things. There's no end of things to worry about at any age. And my advice to you is not going to simply be, don't worry, be happy. I'm going to give you the Lord's advice. Learn to pray. And in your prayers, you will put worry into reverse. As you give your issues, your concerns, your anxieties to the Lord, and let Him be God. Christians, we must not let worry drive our lives, because worry always drives us backwards. Worry drives us into fear, into despair. It drives us into joylessness. It drives us into a weakness of faith that makes us vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. Worry will even drive us backwards into health problems, such as ulcers, high blood pressure, sleeplessness. Martin Luther observed, and by his own experiences, he observed worrisome thoughts bring on physical maladies. When the soul is oppressed, so is the body. But Christ's assurance to us in this text is that as we seek first the kingdom of God and make that our number one priority in life, that all the things that people worry about will fall into place for you. And they will be added unto you. God knows what you need. Heavens, why should both of you worry about it? Casting all of your anxieties upon Him is the very reverse of worrying about them. For in your prayers, your life will be driven forward in faith, forward in confidence, forward in joy, each day, forward in Christ, and each night, a soft pillow of a mind at peace as we've given our times to the Lord. Graduates and friends in Jesus Christ, why worry when you can pray? In the name of our Savior, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ until life everlasting. Amen.